Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. Yes, I know we're about a half hour early. I, of course, am the Big Jack, and as I briefly brought up yesterday, Dan, even though he was like the ultimate Cub fan, actually went to the White Sox game today to see them play the A's. So in his place, back from driving Kyle Schwarber to Iowa, Schomburg Stu is here.
Right, and I hope you saw that picture in the Sun-Times that I talked to you about.
I need an applause button when I introduce you for stuff like that. You know, we don't have that in our music trio there, so I have to talk to Dan about that.
No cough button either, huh?
No. But all right, if you want to call in and talk to Stu and I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so look for a new one of them tomorrow morning. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, I'd greatly appreciate it. I'm sure Stu would, too. So don't forget the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Sadly, today it's just me on Twitter. We still don't have Stu on there. I am at Burke Time, so you can hunt me down there as well. So there you go. We get the plugs out of the way. It's almost like I've done that before, huh?
Yeah, what's Twitter, by the way?
Yeah, trust me, it's not important. But, you know, we've been doing our FanDuel lineups and stuff, Stu, and I really struggled yesterday. I think I had too many Cubs in my lineup. Even though they did hit, I think I had the wrong ones. So here's what I got tonight. I'll get it out to you people real quick because Stu isn't a daily fantasy player like Dan, so we won't spend much time on it. But I'm spending all my money on pitcher tonight. I got Steven Strasburg for $10,900. He's pitching, of course, for the Nationals against the Reds. Catching, I'm going with JT Realmuto of the Marlins. He's going to cost me $3,000. He's hitting seventh in their lineup. Stuck with the Marlins at first base, I got Justin Bour for $3,200. He's hitting fifth in their lineup. Second base is Paul DeJong of the Cardinals. He's going to cost me $2,500. He's hitting seventh in their lineup. Luckily for me, FanDuel has Ryan Healy as a third baseman today, so I was able to pick him up for $3,200. He's hitting sixth in the A's lineup tonight. Shortstop, my big money saver guy here. I'm going with Devin Marrero. He was big for me last time I used him. He's just $2,200. He's hitting ninth for the Red Sox tonight. Then in my outfield, I'm going with Cole Calhoun of the Angels. He's hitting second tonight. He cost me $3,500. Melky Cabrera, I figure Dan's at the game. I got to use Melky. He's $3,300. He's in the leadoff spot for the White Sox tonight. And my lineup rounds on my outfield rounds out and my lineup as well with Adam Jones of the Orioles for $3,200. He's hitting third for them tonight. So the quick recap here, Strasburg pitching, Realmuto second, Realmuto catching, Bour at first, DeJong at second, Healy at third, Marrero at short, and then my outfield is Calhoun, Cabrera, that will be Melky, and then Adam Jones. So there you go. Good luck. As always, this is for the 605 main league. So you do have quite a bit of time today because we are a little earlier. You got about 56 minutes to get your lineup in. So good luck, everybody.
I'm glad you don't have to pay out actual tax for those just selections.
Yeah, so you like those two choices I made against John Lackey tonight, the catcher and the first baseman there for Miami?
Well, any selections against Lackey would be normally good, except he did pitch a good game last time, but he's only had a couple of good outings this season, so the odds are in your favor, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I need the odds to do something for me here. I've been scuffled. Well, actually, I haven't scuffled all week. I had a couple of really good outings, but we're playing these free rolls that they've been sending out, and man, you really got to rack up the points to get there. I think I scored 221 points once and still didn't win any money. So it's difficult.
Is there any maximum number of points that you can win in one particular
thing? Yeah, Yeah, you know, I mean, if your guys all maxed out on what they, you know, what they could do, I mean, I'm sure you could probably score in the, you know, the 400 or 500s if you could get your pitcher to, you know, throw a complete game shutout and, you know, strike out, you know, 20 guys and get a win and a quality start and all that stuff. And then if all your guys went, you know, 4 for 4 with 4 home runs and, you know, they happen to be all grand slams, yeah, you know, you could probably really rack up the totals, but that doesn't happen too often.
No, no.
Or ever.
I'm sure you didn't pick Scooter tonight when he had those 4 home runs, did you?
Sadly, no, I did not have him. There were people who did have him, and he put up 98 points that day on FanDuel. So, yeah, that was a big night. I did have, I'm trying to remember which Cubs I had last night. I know I tried to save some money on Alberto Almora, and that didn't work out for me.
Yeah, he was over five last night, wasn't he?
Yeah. I don't know if he was 0-for-5, but I know he scored me 0 points. You know, and then I had thought the Yankees had figured it out, so I went with their starting pitcher, Severino, because he's been the best guy on their staff, and the Angels scored 10 runs last night. So that luckily he didn't give them all up, but that still did not do much for my my point total, I believe. Yeah, I was just a whopping 95 points last night, and the winner of the league put up 275. So yeah, I was missing a little bit there.
You're
my other Cubs didn't do
night.
Too bad. Yeah, I had Wilson Contreras. He put up 22.2 points, and then Anthony Rizzo, he put up 15.4. So that's decent, but you're paying a lot of money for Rizzo. He's $4,800 now because he's been on a streak. So you really need a little more out of him for that.
What's the current price for Brian?
Oh, let me click over. Give me a second here, and I can hunt it out. His price is obviously, with the way he's been playing, it's been dropping. So let me pop open a league here, and we can get a quick look at Chris Bryant. Yeah, I was gonna say not the time for the computer to slow down. Oh,
probably under 4,000 though.
Yeah, he was, if I remember, like, yesterday, I believe he was in the $3,500 or $3,600 range, and I haven't used him since he, you know, obviously has had his issues here as of late. I know he's gotten a couple flares or floaters or however you
want
to look at them, but...
But not last night. No floater last night. No floater last night. He did hit one rocket for a 3-run homer.
Oh, that explains why his price is up then. He's back up to $3,800. So that's
so it's gotta be complex. I mean, the price is very as to each individual game. If someone goes say if someone's 2 for 30 and then the next day he's 3 for 4, his price will go up anyway.
Yes. Yeah, what you'll notice, you know, and obviously, like I said, I know you don't play, but anytime a team goes to Colorado, the price of their players goes up. And anytime somebody faces Clayton Kershaw, their players go down about as low as I've seen the prices. So, but yeah, Bryant, yeah, he had a couple hits last night. He put up 38.1 points. Before that, it was 6, 15.2, and then he had a 0 night against that first game of the Padres series.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was enough to jump him up a few $100, and we'll see if people get back on his bandwagon. You know, not me, but we'll see if some people do.
And who establishes the dollar points? You got some experts on that for
yeah,
you to get this.
Yeah, I would assume, you know, it's never really been clarified. I don't know if it's computer-based or, you know, how they kind of shake things out. But obviously, you know, your top pitchers are, you know, the guys who cost you the most. Like, Strasburg is the most expensive guy in the game tonight at, you know, $10,900. And then, you know, it's, you know, just pitching from then on in. So... you know, it's just a matter of juggling your lineup. Like, even, you know, a guy like John Lackey, who, you know, has had his struggles, is still going to cost you $8,500 tonight.
And what about Eddie Butler? Does he go to a negative number, or does he actually?
No negatives. They do go down. Like today, the cheapest pitchers you can get, there's actually a couple rookies pitching. The guy for Cincinnati who's pitching against the Nationals is making his major league debut, Luis Castillo. And then Mark Leiter Jr. is starting for the Phillies tonight. You can get either of them for $5,500. So
it's still not cheap.
No. You know, as pitchers go, obviously, you know, it's cheap. But like the guy pitching against the Cubs tonight, Jose Urena, who's actually had a couple of decent starts, you can get him for $7,000. So depending on, you know, if you feel the Cubs are slumping, which I probably wouldn't go with, but, you know, you could take a shot there. You know, there's always those little, you know, odd kind of value guys that you got to sneak in and find and, you know, hope it works out for you. You know, I know if I wouldn't have went with Strasburg, I probably would have jumped on Joe Musgrove. He's pitching for the Astros tonight against the Mariners. He's down at 7,300. So I think, you know, there's a lot of value down there in him. But, you know, some of these guys, you know, like Felix Hernandez, they have at 8,500, like John Lackey. It's his first start since, I think, May. And, you know, I love Felix. You know, he's awesome, but I just can't get on board there yet. He's got to show me something.
That's a lot of money for someone who hasn't pitched in a month and a half or so.
So, yeah, and, you know, it makes me wonder, you know, I guess maybe they put him there because they didn't want too many guys jumping on him if they valued him lower, because that's just kind of mid-range for the starting pitcher. So, it all just kind of varies on what you believe or what system you use or, you know, how your saber metrics shake out. I know Dan and I talked about it. God, this was a few years ago now. There was a kid from Notre Dame who built an algorithm for the site and was making six figures a year using his algorithm. You know, no names, no nothing, which is where I get myself in trouble because I'll see a name and I like that guy and I want to use that guy. He just plugged in all the numbers and went with what the numbers said no matter what and just won big money.
I wonder if he's continuing to win. Or that was an aberration, maybe, and just one shot, 1 year, lifetime experience. But who knows?
Yeah, well, they have changed the scoring system since then. So you wonder if he's been able to adjust there. You know, it'd be nice if somebody did a follow-up on something on it. But, you know, now anytime they talk about daily fantasy like this, it's just, you know, is it legal and which states are trying to shut it down and all the other stuff that kind of.
Very complex. If they had a minor league tournament, you could select Edwin Jackson as one of your pitchers.
Yes, I would gladly jump on Edwin Jackson if he would pitch for somebody again in the majors, you know.
Yeah. Well, he made his bucks over the years.
Yeah, quite a few of them from the Cubs. You know, oddly, he's still a fairly young guy. So, you know what I mean? If you look at him, I mean, I believe he won a World Series and he has a no-hitter to his credit.
Yeah, he is really one of those strange pitchers, hard to figure out. We've talked about the one pitcher I can't figure out why he had such a long career was LaTroy Hawkins. He was, what, in 15, 20 years in the big leagues? I mean, a long career.
I think it was closer to 20. Well, you know, he really reinvented himself as a setup guy. You know, I mean, it looked like he was going to be a closer. And then, you know, that all fell apart. Part of it all falling apart was when he was in Chicago. I'm sure you remember him telling the media that he could do his job, but they couldn't do he could do their job, but they couldn't do his.
Yeah. He was really horrible with the Cubs.
He pitched 21 years.
Wow.
So. He had a career losing record. 75-94. He was a starter originally in his career. His first three full seasons, he was a starter with the Twins and didn't fare too well. He did win 10 games once. Then moved into the bullpen, obviously. Pitched in a ton of games. He was one of those guys you could really count on when you needed him. He actually pitched in 1,042 major league games.
And maybe that's what kept him in the big league so many years. In fact, it wasn't.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, he did have 25 saves with the Cubs. You know, in 2004, he had 25 saves with the Cubs, so he wasn't terrible. But in 2005, yeah, he was bad.
To say the least.
And now, did they cut him or did they trade him to San Francisco? Do you remember?
I don't remember if they cut him or not. And, but I don't think anybody in Chicago was sorry to see him go.
No, it definitely did not seem like it. Let me see if I can. They always have the transactions listed here. Let me see if his come up. And here I can tell you, you'll get a kick out of this. He made $47,462,500 in his career.
Not a shabby amount, right? I don't think he has too many financial.
Oh, here, yeah, I can't believe you didn't remember this trade. The Cubs traded Hawkins with cash to the San Francisco Giants, and in return, they got David Ardsma and Jerome Williams.
Ah, Williams, he was a right-handed pitcher, wasn't he? If I remember correctly.
Yes. So, and Ardsma was a hard-throwing reliever who blew out his arm. So.
Yeah, that was a great trade. Well, they didn't give up much in return, though.
No, yeah, they, you know, just two teams who didn't get a ton there. But, you know, yeah, you know, Hawkins, of all things, as odd as it seems, as big as a, you know, I guess you could say jerk with the way he acted here in Chicago, you know, he's actually like an international ambassador for the game now.
Talk about someone making a career out of baseball, huh?
You know, maybe he mellowed with his older age.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. His temperament was better than Milton Bradley Jr.'s, but who wasn't?
Yeah. I think we were trying to figure that out last time. Is he in jail? Did we ever figure it out?
Yes. I think he's still in jail. Working on his anger management issues.
So, but there, you know, there was some other stuff I wanted to get to here while I had you, and especially a very oddly Chicago sports-centric day, well, kind of starting last night, where the Bulls I guess it had to be a bit of a surprise that they finally decided to deal Jimmy Butler. He goes back to play with Tibbs. You know, so Butler goes to Minnesota with the 16th pick, and the Bulls get a point guard in Chris Dunn, a shooting guard in Zach LaVine, and the 7th overall pick, which they took the big shooting, I guess, power forward center, however you want to look at the guy. You know, I'm reading this, and most people think the Bulls got ripped off. How are you feeling about that trade?
I'm not so sure they got ripped off, and I think one of the main things that's going to be answered is LaVine going to be – that's Zach LaVine, right? Is he going to be healthy? He's coming back – isn't he the one coming back from the ACL?
Yeah. Yes.
Because he had nice stats with Minnesota before he got hurt. He was averaging 19 close to 19 points a game.
Yeah, he really seemed to be coming into his own. You know, when he came in, he was a dunker. You know, that was his big flash thing. He had all these YouTube videos and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And obviously, you know, he's won a dunk contest. He can really, you know, get above the rim, but yeah, at the, you know, before he got hurt under Tom Thibodeau, he was really coming into his own as an offensive player.
So I think that's going to be a key part of the deal. And we'll see. Of course, you've got to see how this rookie does. This mostly great 3-point shooter. We've heard that before, though.
Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely. You know, I'm wondering now if, you know, I mean, I don't think he would have, but, you know, I wonder if Dwayne Wade would have changed his mind about picking up his option had he known Butler would have been was going to be traded.
Can he change his mind now that the trade was made? Or is it too late?
Oh, I wish he could, but, yeah, I don't think so. So
now that the Minnesota has acquired Jimmy Butler, what about the Derrick Rose? I heard some rumors about Derrick Rose possibly going to Minnesota, but is that done now because Butler has been traded to them?
Well, you know, I mean, they would need a backup point guard. You know, they have Ricky Rubio. So, you know, I could see them, depending on what Rose would want salary-wise, you know, and if he would be willing to go in a backup type of role, you know, it could be, you know, I'm sure it still could be possible. Of course, you know, you have to wonder how healthy is he, because he's rehabbing an injury.
Isn't he always?
Yeah, pretty much. But, yeah, you know, it's interesting now with, you know, Minnesota. I mean, they had a really good young core of players. You know, Andrew Wiggins was the first pick in the draft, you know, before Cleveland picked him and then shipped him to Minnesota. Karl Anthony Towns, I think, yeah, I don't remember if he was the top pick or not. You know, Rubio is still a young, you know, a young guy. You know, you add Jimmy Butler to that mix, you know, a veteran with a lot of experience and obviously a lot of talent. He's a very good two-way player. You know, even in the Western Conference, I think they're looking at probably a chance to get into the playoffs next year.
Well, last year they won 31 games. Are they going to be good for over 500 this season, do you think?
Well, you know, if they're going to get in the playoffs in the West, they're going to have to be. You know, they're going to have to be 500 or better.
42, 43 wins,
maybe. Yeah, let me see what the bottom team here. Yeah, Portland was the last team to get in the West, and they were 41-41. So, you know, is Butler a 10-win improvement for them?
Well, I don't know. 10's a stretch, but I would say at least 7 or 8 games. He's a very solid player.
You know, and I know everybody really liked their draft pick. It was Patton, the center out of Creighton, and I'm drawing a blank on his first name. I got to pull up his player card here.
Yeah.
But,
I've heard good things about him also. I mean,
Well,
don't forget that. I would imagine that because of his title now, he's not just a coach, not Thibodeau. He must have had a lot of say in the deal to get Butler plus the selection of the player from Creighton, I would imagine. And he's a shrewd judge of talent. They would have done a lot better. The Bulls had listened to him instead of what they drafted when he was the coach for the Bulls.
Yeah, you know, and I wonder, you know, looking at the guys the Bulls got in return, these would be guys you would classify as fitting into Fred Hoiberg's system. So it'll be interesting to see how these guys factor in, because obviously it's an overcrowded backcourt now. I mean, you still got Rajon Rondo, you still got Dwayne Wade, and now you add two more guards to the mix. So, you know, but I don't know what they're going to do or how they're going to try to shake it out. So
I don't think Rondo will be back with the Bulls next season. Do you? You think he's actually going to?
Well, I believe he's under contract. I think he's
right.
Signed, so he'll, you know.
But
I wouldn't, you know, I was kind of wondering if maybe, you know, I was a little surprised they couldn't find a trade partner for him at the trade deadline. Of course, he was still having his discipline issues there. I think it was till after that he didn't really kind of straighten out.
Well, the Bulls certainly were a middle-of-the-road team, and now it'll be somewhat of a rebuilding mode. And even so, they still have the best attendance in the NBA. And it's hard to figure. I just can't understand it.
Well, you know, this is one of those things that teams or people have been saying the Bulls need to do for years now, was go out and, you know, do this, kind of rebuild the team. You know, and I mean, obviously they won't be the worst team in the Eastern Conference, but I don't think they're a playoff team now.
Well, don't forget the Eastern Conference is so weak that they could sneak in the 8th seed again, maybe get 40 wins, and even then they might make it in to the Eastern.
I don't know. You think they're a 40-win team?
Well, it's hard to say right now. I'd say no, but we'll have to see how these players that they got are going to do. Especially
so,
when coming back from that ACL. That is not always easy to come back from. Of course, he injured himself in February, right? Didn't he? So he might be able to.
Yeah, I believe from everything I've heard, he's supposed to be ready for training camp. From everything I've kind of read, so he should be good to go by the time the regular season starts. Hopefully.
Yeah, that's going to be critical, I think, to see how this deal's going to work out or not.
So, yeah, and then as I switch up sports here on you, we stay in Chicago. We just switch teams. Two big, I would say, moves by the Blackhawks. It starts out, the first thing I hear is that Nicholas Chalmerson is going to the Arizona Coyotes for a pair of defensemen. The Blackhawks got Connor Murphy and Laurent Dolphin in return for Chalmerson. And then they make another move where Artemi Panarin goes along with Tyler Mott and a sixth-round pick in tonight's draft to Columbus, and they bring back Brandon Saad, obviously a former Blackhawk. They get a goalie in the deal, Anton Forsberg, and they also get a 2018 fifth-round pick. I know they need salary cap space, and I'm assuming that's what motivated probably especially the Chalmerson deal. But were you surprised to see this, especially like a scorer like Panarin, who was so good with Patrick Kane?
Very surprised. But Saad always did very, very well with the Blackhawks. And he's a feisty player, and they need something like that. I think they were a little too – they don't have that fiery player on that team, and that hurt them last year in the playoffs. And perhaps with getting Saad back again, maybe that'll help a little bit. Saad will be
the guy they'll just plug in Panarin's spot. So he'll get to jump in right away and play with Patrick Kane, and that'll all be good for him. And I know Chalmerson isn't your prototypical scoring defenseman. You know, he doesn't light up, the kind of stats you look for. But, man, the guy is really good, and he blocks a ton of shots. I was really sad to see him go, because he does that dirty work that guys just don't want to do.
Right. I'll tell you something. Of the two trades that were made, that move was the one that surprised me the most.
So, yeah. And I don't know much about, like, these guys they're getting in return for him. I got to look here. Connor Murphy had 2 goals and 15 assists for Arizona last year. He was a negative 13, but of course that has a lot to do with the fact that Arizona just wasn't very good. And then let me see the other guy is. I'm calling him Dolphin, but I'm sure that's incorrect. Where's Dan when I need the phonetic spelling of a player's name? Let's see how this guy did. But, they did need some extra defensemen considering they lost Van Riemsdyk. And here this guy had two goals and one assist in 24 games.
Wow,
so,
that's impressive, huh?
Yeah. So hopefully he's a – oddly, they have him listed as a centerman here. I hope he's not a centerman with those kind of stats. They've got him listed as a defenseman in the trade and centerman in the other one. So – We'll have to see
and
how that
deals,
goes.
And the two deals they made today, did they take advantage of the additional money they had because of the retirement, or at least temporary retirement, of Hossa? Because that did free up some more money for them.
Yeah, well, I think, making the moves they did actually gives them a little more money to where, they might actually be able to go out and sign a free agent, an actual, bigger name free agent. I know Saad is under a long-term deal. He got a 6-year deal from Columbus. So the way that'll average out, by moving Panarin, who was going to hit free agency here soon and want big money, I think they probably shuffled themselves a little cash to possibly bring a guy in. So we'll have to look and see if they sign a guy, or they're a little more active than they normally are. Cause they're going to need to find a guy to replace Hossa, which is going to be tough to do.
Yeah. You're not going to find someone as good as that to replace. Unfortunately, I'm surprised though. I'm a little surprised Columbus made that move. Yeah. They got Panarin, but Saad, it's an awfully solid player. And How many goals did he score last year? I'm trying to remember. He had a pretty solid season for Columbus, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he actually, you know, his first year there, he kind of struggled. But last year, he ended up with 24 goals and 29 assists. And, you know, on the plus side, he played all 82 games.
That's important. I wonder what his reaction is on coming back to Chicago.
Yeah, so they, you know, somebody mentioned something about it. I think he kind of was quoted as saying the same thing as when he was traded away, how he was just kind of surprised to be dealt. You know, I can't blame him. I'm surprised Columbus dealt him as well.
Yeah. I'm glad they're getting a good player in turn, but I'm not so I think the Blackhawks may have done pretty well in that deal because of, I don't know how good that backup goalie is though they got. If he's,
Corey Crawford plays up standards, it, you know, it doesn't really matter. The backup's just got to be average. So.
Yeah, well, Crawford certainly has to elevate his game next season. He had a very poor season this year.
Yeah, and, you know, oddly, I saw Arizona made another big move. They picked up a former Blackhawk goalie, Antti Raanta, and they picked up a centerman, Derek Stepan, from the Rangers. They gave up the seventh overall pick and a defenseman. But, yeah, I'm wondering, I'm surprised to see Arizona going out and really acquiring veteran guys. So I wonder if maybe they're going to try to compete instead of just being a kind of a doormat out there.
Yeah, I don't know how they do in attendance out there, but they certainly have to do something to right the ship because they were really brutal last season.
They've been struggling for a while now. Let me see. I can tell you that they averaged 13,094 people last year. They were 29th out of 30th in NHL attendance.
Yeah, that's and most NHL teams do very well in attendance, so that shows you that there wasn't much fan interest.
Yeah, it's the only team worse than them is Carolina, who doesn't even draw 12,000 people per game. So.
Yeah, well, they're certainly not cold weather type. Like, they're either one of them are not cold weather teams, right? When you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's 119 like it has been the last few days, and you can't think too much about hockey.
So oddly, some of the other teams down this way. The Islanders at 28 and the Devils at 27, you know, obviously teams that have won Stanley Cups in their history, but, you know, really, really haven't been good as of late. You wonder if the Islanders moving to that Barclays Center or whatever will help their attendance.
It probably will, but I'm a little surprised that their attendance has been so poor because the New York area fans are usually pretty big in terms of hockey, and they usually support their teams.
Yeah, you know, even the Rangers are just 17th out of 30 teams. So, yeah, it's a little surprising. But, you know, the names at the top are, you know, what you expect. The Blackhawks are number one, followed by the Canadiens, the Red Wings, the Penguins. You know, and then the Maple Leafs round out the top five, who were, you know, much better last year than the year before. So that's no surprise.
Yeah, those top five are pretty much a given. You know,
the Red Wings had a poor season, but they're still showed up.
Yeah, what did St. Louis come in their attendance?
They're seven. They're right there. They're seven.
Yeah, but they support their hockey team pretty well in St. Louis.
So, you know what I mean? Obviously, in some places, it has to do with arena capacity. You know, some places are a little smaller than others, so, you know, there's a limit to how many you can draw. Oddly, the Blackhawks actually average more than the United Center can hold. It's actually 110%. So
they had a funny max capacity in the old Chicago Stadium for all the devil worshipers out there. I think it was their max was considered 16,666, if I remember correctly. But they always did better than that.
Yeah.
Until they started to fall apart and the turnaround took place.
Yeah, well, you know, once they got the father out, you know, and they got some kind of, you know, new pretty much new values on how you know, hockey was run, they really,
they turned,
you know, they really got it.
Yeah, very, very poor management by the father.
Yeah.
Really, and they, even years ago, they used to have standing room only crowds. When they even had the Big Six, they would have standing room only crowds when the Canadians came in or any of the teams. But they certainly have fallen on sad times before the turnaround. And we're all talking about a dynasty for the Blackhawks. I guess we're not going to be talking about that much anymore, just like we're not going to be talking about the Cub dynasty.
No, you know, sadly, you know, that's what makes what Pittsburgh did even more impressive, you know, by repeating. You know, nobody had been able to do that. And, you know, they got it this year. So, you know, we'll have to see. I know, you know, it's actually too bad Dan's not here. I'm seeing that, you know, he always enjoys the Washington Capitals, and they signed TJ Yoshi today to an 8-year deal. So at least they're keeping one of their free agents. They have quite a few free agents.
Oh,
but,
so
you know, Oshie was one
there.
Of the guys we thought might be leaving, but looks like he's sticking around.
And isn't it amazing? Every year Washington always in the top of the league in terms of points accumulated, and they always seem to get eliminated in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, that's been their – you know, their stigma as of late, what, you can't win the big one or whatever you want to call it. You know, they have that issue there for, you know, whatever reason. And sometimes, you know, it's difficult to get over the hump. I mean, I know it's a different sport, but remember how long it took the Bulls to get by the Pistons.
Yeah.
Before, you know, they were able to become the top team in the Eastern Conference. You know, it's just, those things kind of happen, and you wonder if Washington can ever get that, you know, key win or that Stanley Cup, if maybe, you know, they put together a string of where they win, you know, a couple in 3 years or, you know, 3 in 5 years or something like that. But it's going to have to happen soon. You know, that's going to be getting younger.
Yeah, they certainly have a strong team, though, on paper, and you think they would go further than they do, but they're just one of those teams that they can't seem to get over the top.
Well, you know, like this year stunk, the fact that they met Pittsburgh in the second round, you know, that should have been the Eastern Conference Finals matchup. I don't know what the NHL was thinking with the way they had the playoffs seeded. That was just, you know, insane that was a second round matchup. I mean, you can't let that happen. It needs to be a marquee conference finals kind of matchup, but I don't know what they did. They juggled something, and that's just how it worked out.
Yeah. You knew one of those two teams, one of the two best teams in the NHL is going to go home after that series.
Yeah, they were, I think they were two of the top three or two of the top four point scorers during the regular season. Well, you know, Washington was top. They won the President's Trophy, and I think Pittsburgh was three or four.
Yeah, they both they both are ranked up right up there. Of course, the Blackhawks weren't they the top in the Western Conference?
Yes. You see what that got them?
Yeah, it got them a quick sweep. And I'm wondering if Nashville, they're going to be strong again next season.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what Nashville looks like. You know, when they, you know, what they come back with, you know, and obviously, you know, they just lost James Neal to the expansion draft. So that's going to be tough to replace. And, you know, we'll have to see how, you know, how these teams kind of manage.
They look pretty impressive winning those two games at home to tie the series. But after that was it. They got crushed in the game five. And then it was a very tough game that the last game, but Pittsburgh, in that low-scoring game, Pittsburgh finally scored a goal very late. But Nashville had scored a goal earlier to take the lead, but it was disallowed. And I think that of course, hurt them.
Yeah, you know, I know Dan and I talked quite a bit about that. I don't think that should have been a disallowed goal after going back and, you know, seeing the highlights and stuff. But,
yeah,
you know, that's what they decided.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, we do have the draft tonight. It's the the New Jersey Devils with the number one pick in the NHL. The Blackhawks don't pick till 26, so.
Somehow there doesn't seem to be very little, there doesn't seem much excitement in this draft compared to the NBA draft, and it's always been that way. Maybe we're just more aware.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's because we just, yeah, you know, I mean, do you know any of these guys who are about to be drafted? I mean, I've seen some of the names and stuff, but I don't think I could name one of them for you.
Yeah, I couldn't either, and it's not the same in the NBA. You're pretty well. You're gonna know most of
yeah.
the first 10, at least the first 10, 12 selections. You're aware of them. You know who they are.
Well, here, like the guy, I've got this mock draft here, mynhldraft.com. At 26, they have the Blackhawks taking a left winger by the name of Isaac Radcliffe. Couldn't tell you anything about him.
No.
So,
maybe he's related
you
to
know, I don't know anything about him. Couldn't tell you anything about him. I can tell you what it says here. He plays for a team called Gulp, G-U-E-L-P-H.
Where are they?
What do you know about Isaiah Radcliffe? Or Isaac Radcliffe,
nothing.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I said maybe he's related to Daniel Radcliffe, but that's all I would know. As in zilch. When they do the NHL draft.
Did I lose you? Did you fall off? What happened here?
No, can you hear me?
No.
I can hear you.
All right, let's try this and see if it brings Stu back in or if it's me. I can't believe this would happen again.
I can hear you loud and clear.
So I do apologize. Maybe I could find the music to play or something, or I could sing along while I try to work out our difficulties here. But hopefully I'm at least still broadcasting. There we go. There you are. Now you're back.
All right.
So.
you can hear me now, right?
Yes.
There?
I was wondering what happened to you.
Ah, there. What I was going to ask you is this. We know how the NBA is selected in terms of the college players, et cetera. What about in the NHL? Do they just pick the college players? Could they be from Europe? Are they in minor leagues in the various leagues in Canada? How does that work? You know offhand how they make these determinations?
I believe for the NHL, they are allowed to pick, you know, any of those guys. They can go out and take a player from overseas, or one of the guys from the Canadian Hockey Leagues, or the college. Like the guy the Blackhawks are listed as drafting here, he plays in the OHL, which I believe is the Ontario Hockey League. So that's where he's coming out of here.
And I would say even the most ardent NHL fan does not going to be aware of too many of those players who are going to be selected tonight.
No, that's the thing. It's just kind of like, like I heard the names and, obviously, they pop out all the time, this guy's taking this guy and blah, blah, blah. But, it's just really okay, until you see them or they make some kind of impact, how does it work?
There always seems to be a lot of excitement in the NBA draft, but I don't think you're going to see that much excitement in tonight's NHL draft.
I think that's because, people see the NBA players, like you see these guys in college, but, obviously college hockey doesn't get that much attention. And, otherwise where can you find,
right,
these kind of guys? So,
right. Once in a great while, Comcast will televise maybe a Notre Dame hockey game once or twice, maybe a year, but that's about it. You don't see too much of that.
Yeah. That's just, and I understand. I mean, I know there's not a huge interest in the NHL, let alone enough to start, you know, hustling the college games out there.
Yeah, it's probably number four, I guess, out of the four major sports in the United States, team sports. They'd have to be ranked last, I would imagine. Football, baseball, basketball, and hockey. I wouldn't even consider soccer.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because soccer is just,
you know, unless you're, you know. No, you know, it's been one of those things, you know, they always thought it would, but, you know, it's never found a footing, you know, and I know they keep talking like they still think it's going to, but
yeah, but
I've
heard that for years. What was popular for a number of years, though, was the Sting and the indoor soccer when they played out of the old Chicago Stadium. They draw some big crowds on occasion. There are 20,000 fans. I think I went to one game, and there was huge crowd. And that they also played, as you remember, they also played not only indoor, they played outdoor soccer as well. And they were pretty popular. They were pretty popular for a while. But you don't see too much with the
Yeah, didn't I they? I know
the
they won a championship, at least one.
They beat the New York, if I remember correctly, and that game wasn't even televised live. It was on a delayed broadcast.
Well, you know, remember the NBA Finals used to be on tape delay.
Yeah. That's a long time ago. And when Loyola won the championship, the college championship, I think it was 1963, it was a tape delay.
Yeah. So yeah, before, you know, before stuff was all that, you know, all that before sports were all that popular.
Yeah, right. Now every game in the NCAA tournament is televised, which is pretty amazing. Every game.
Yeah. I think just about every game of, you know, almost every sport is televised. I mean, look at how many Little League World Series games they show. You know, it's just, it's incredible the amount of, you know, coverage that gets, or, you know, I mean, you know, it's to the point now where when, you know, the good old Mickey Mouse Network can't find programming, they end up showing high school games. You can catch high school football and high school basketball on their channel from time to time.
Sometimes when they go interstate, they might have a big game televised, right? Like one of the top teams in Chicago will go to another state to play. It could be Missouri. It could be any place, Indiana. And those super games are televised.
Yeah, those are the big ones. You know, when the number one team from this state goes to take on the number one team, and it's like, oh, okay, you know, let's, you know.
So I got to bring up one point about high school basketball, and I think that it's I'm not going to talk about women's basketball. I'm going to say this: it was so much more exciting years ago when there was just one team. There wasn't an A, AA, AAA, whatever they have, four different conferences. Categories of basketball, it was so much more exciting than when occasionally you would see a team from Southern Illinois, for example, a real small high school team, go to the top and actually win. And that was, you don't see that anymore, of course. And I think that mars from the excitement of the sport in the tournament finals.
Yeah, it's, you know, I couldn't remember the last, you know, little team that, you know, actually kind of won it. You know, just kind of, it always reminds me of the movie Hoosiers, where, you know, the little team from
right.
the small town comes up
right.
and, you know, wins the state title, and which I believe is based on a true story, right? Did that happen?
Yeah,
I'm not sure if it was Illinois or Indiana, but yeah.
Although Illinois had one category for basketball, and it's it. Indiana always had a couple of categories, I think. And then, of course, they have these four now in Illinois? Four different categories for basketball?
Four. I think there's six in football and four in basketball or something like that.
Yeah.
It's difficult to keep track of with the way, you know, sports as a whole and then high school sports as a whole is, you know, just... you know, abused. You know, it's tough to watch. You know, when they get into that stuff. So,
yes.
You know, but since you brought up high school sports, you know, I know the NBA is talking again about possibly letting go kids go straight from high school into the draft. Do you like that idea, or do you like where they pretend to go to college for a year because you damn well know none of those guys are going to class?
It's really a joke when you think about it. And these guys go for 1 year. They have to go to college for 1 year, and they have no reason for being there. But maybe it's basically just
I'm starting to think Stu is bad luck. We bring Stu on, and we have nothing but technical difficulties.
Can you hear me now? No? You can't hear me, huh?
All right, well, let's see if our music will play. Or are we just,
Play something good. Play something for Manny.
Oh.
Nothing. Maybe I should call back. I'll try to call back.